iTunes. And remember, this has to do with the tune of our heart, keeping our heart in tune with God. How many of you know one of the most powerful things you can learn is how to tune your heart in? And I said from the beginning that your heart is like a stereo. It's like a stereo. It's a transmitter and it's a receiver. And we said that you know, it's one thing for you to understand where your mind is, but truthfully, if you're going to change things in your life and you're going to live for God, you're going to live from your heart. You're going to live from your heart. You get saved in your heart first. It's your heart that changes. It's the heart that God deals with. It's the heart that God wants to transform. How many of you believe that? So each week I've been connecting it to a song. And last week, you know, we did Let It Go. But then really what we did was Shake It Off. That's right. Shake It Off. How many of you shook off some things this week? Praise God. All right. We're hoping you shake some things off. Well, this week we're going to continue in our plan. And I got a song about it. I really do have a song about it. So we'll see what we can do here. We may just let them start it back there. Here's our song of the week, if you want to call it that. This ain't our song, by the way. How many of you know what that song is? We're gonna keep on moving.
When your word, your face will frown,
no.
That will bring everybody down. So don't worry.
Be happy. Don't worry. Be happy now.
Here come bad news.
Oh!
Give me all you got.
Don't hold back. Oh, yeah, this is good.
I should probably warn you, I'll be just fine. No offense to you, I don't waste your time. Here's why. Because I'm happy. Clap along if you feel like a room without a roof. Because I'm happy. Clap along if you feel like happiness is the truth. Because I'm happy. Clap along if you know what happiness is.
Bam!
Bring me down. Can't
none. How'd you like
bring
this?
Me down. Love is too high. Bring me down. Can't none. Bring me down. I said, tell you now. Bring me down. Can't none. Bring me down. Love is too high.
In a minute, that stuff just cracks me up. I can't help it. How many of you know happiness is contagious? It is contagious, and I'm here to tell you that happiness is a part of what God wants you to experience on this planet, and He actually wired you for that. But let me just say this, the title of the message is Happy, but really we're going to go beyond happy. Actually, I really was looking for songs that had to do with joy, but the only song I could think of was Joy, Pump, Pump, Pump It Up, Pain, keep it going now, Sunshine. Y'all didn't grow up in my neighborhood. But anyway, that was the only song I could think of because I'm really talking about joy. But happiness kind of connects, but I'll show you the difference between the differences. And now if you've got a bunch of songs that deal with joy, you need to be on staff with us so we can figure out some songs, all right? But how many of you know that laughter and joy and all those things, man, how many of you know those things are attractive? They're attractive. You know, the Bible says, and I've been using this this scripture throughout the whole series, a jolly heart does good like a medicine. It's like medicine to your heart. That no matter how bad things are, if you can get around some people that are smiling and happy and having a good time, man. And I know what some of y'all are thinking. Well, we're at church. We're not supposed to smile and happy. What? Are you out of your mind? You came to the wrong place, man. You came to the wrong place. That's some other church. This church, we're going to smile. We're going to have a good time. We're going to laugh. Amen? God made you that way. God made you that way. One of the things you've got to realize is that the truth of the matter is, if you are going to live for God, God wants you to have joy and laughter. He wants you to have. It's supposed to be who you are. It's supposed to be, well, that's just not my personality. Well, then you're probably not saved. You say, no, that isn't true. Oh, yes, it is. Well, Pastor Charlie, give me a Bible verse. I'll give you one. You ready? Galatians 5:22. For the fruit of the Spirit is love. Love. How many of you believe God is love? Yes. And God put love in you? Yes. Right? How many of you know what the next word in that verse is? Joy. Joy. Everybody say joy. Joy. Absolutely. God wants you to be joyful. He wants you to have joy. It's okay to love Jesus and have joy. People get offended at me because I'm a preacher. I love Jesus and I have joy. I annoy people because I have joy. I have joy. I get on people's nerves. It's like, can't you be sad? No. Why? We're supposed to have joy. And honestly, the truth of the matter is, whenever I first got saved, I thought I was odd. But then I started, well, and I still may be, but anyway, the jury's still out. But here's what I did realize. I did realize that, hold up, whenever you look at the Bible and you study the Bible about joy, actually you'll find out that I'm much more on the side of what God has to say about it than other folks who have long, grim faces and no joy. But now let me distinguish the difference between joy and happiness, because some of you may mistake my joy for happiness. And there's a vast difference in the Bible. So I want to give you some just simple definitions here. If you're taking notes, you can write them down. But the most important thing is that you know what I'm saying here. Happiness. Happiness is based on external feelings and events. External feelings and events. They're external. I like to say it this way. Happiness is based upon happenings. You get a new car. I don't even know you get happy. It gets over 60 in Indiana. In March, you get happy. It may snow on Easter, and then your happiness is gone. That could happen here. Where we live, that could happen. But seriously, happiness is based on happenings. Happenings, happenings. God wants you to live above happenings. He wants you to live above happenings. Because what I'm talking about right now has to do with living above happiness. It has to do with something deeper than that. Happiness is just simply a condition of the soul feeling something that excites it. The soul, which is the mind, will, and emotions. What I'm talking about is something very, very deep, very deep on the inside of you. So let me give you a simple definition of what joy is. Joy is an internal assurance of God's presence. An internal assurance of God's presence. An internal, something deep down, assurance, I have something of God's presence in my life. I feel it. I sense it. It's joy. It's joy. Check this out. The word happy, happiness, and all those different derivatives of that word is only spoken of 26 times in the Bible. The word happiness. 26 times. The word joy, over 300. Over 300. See, happiness has to do with happenings. And if you're going to live your life based on happenings, there are going to be some days you're up, some days you're down. You're going to experience highs and you're going to experience lows. Some days you might be happy because you had a great happening, but on the next day you might be receiving bad news or bad news about a family member or dealing with crazy kids or something like that. And because the happenings aren't good, you have no happiness. But what I'm talking about is something that is consistent and constant in your heart. And remember, we're talking about your heart in this series. And a healthy heart is not a doom and gloom and despair heart. A heart that is joyful, that has joy on the inside of it, is a sign of a healthy heart. Because that joy, which is actually coming from the presence of God, actually is the assurance of his presence. Let me say it this way. What is the one thing it takes for you to please God? One thing, there's only one. Come on, I heard somebody say it over this way. Faith. Without faith, it is what? Impossible to please God. Listen, everybody, check this out. There's only one thing that pleases God. It's your faith. Say, well, no, it's what I do. No. If you do those things without faith, it doesn't please God. Yeah? It's not what you do. It's the heart of faith, right? And without faith, it is impossible to please God. Now check this out. Hear me and follow me on this. I have seen people who have faith and have joy. I've seen people who have faith and have no joy. And people who have faith and don't have joy, believe it or not, are not embracing the promises of God. Because when you have faith in the promises of God and you grab a hold of them in your life, they automatically bring joy. They automatically bring joy. They bring joy to your life. You can't help it. I can't help it. Don't be happy. I can't help it. Don't be joyful. I can't help it. Why? Because if you knew what I knew about God, you would not be just sitting there with a long... Have you ever noticed that people who are really don't have any joy oftentimes don't have any faith? Say, why is that? We'll look at it at the very end of my message, but it's because of what Nehemiah said. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Hey, listen, if the devil wants to steal your strength, how does he do it? He takes your joy. If he can take your joy, he takes your strength. He takes your faith. He takes your ability to stand. It's very hard to get someone who's in joy, right, out of faith. It's hard. But someone who has faith and has joy, it's hard to push them off of the promises of God. So I want you to be a person who has joy. And some of you are like, well, I don't like joy. Well, it's a fruit of the Spirit. It's on the inside of you. Might as well be joyful. And let me just send out a warning. You ready? If you don't like joy, don't go to heaven. Because there's going to be a whole lot of joyful people there. And I will be the last one you need to worry about there. Because there's a whole bunch of radical people up there that are a lot more joyful than me. And I'm pretty joyful. So if I annoy you now, wait till we get to heaven, praise God. Joy, joy, joy. Listen to this. Listen to what the Bible says about this joy, about the joy that you should have deep down on the inside of you. Psalms 16:11. Here's what it says. It says, You will show me the path of life. Listen to this. The path of life. How? In your presence is fullness of. If you want to be in God's presence, guess what God says his presence is about? Joy. It's joyful. It's joy. In his presence is fullness of joy. 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 Where is it at? Is it in your head? No, it's in your heart. It's in your heart, and it has to be released. It has to be pulled on. I think of joy like I think of sweet tea. Now, if you cook sweet tea, you're doing it right. You're halfway there. Y'all don't cook sweet tea? You got to talk to some of us from the South. You're supposed to cook sweet tea. Because if you put enough sugar in it, it's so thick, the only way you're going to get it stirred up in there is by boiling that thing. Y'all don't know what I'm talking about. I can tell. I know. Here's what I realized. I realized when I moved here at 12, 13 years old, and then I was here till 19, we didn't have sweet tea here. If you asked for tea at a restaurant, they brought you unsweetened tea. I got here as a kid, and I thought, what is that? All right. Then I came back out of the military, and Sweet Tea's new within the last 5 or 10 years to Indiana. But y'all, they've been making it in the South for thousands of years. Right next to Community Coffee, there was Sweet Tea. I promise you. You probably don't. How many of you know what Community Coffee is? All right, praise God. That's like slap your mama, wake yourself up type coffee. That's straight up. That they turn the bean and give it to you in the cup form. All right? But nevertheless, hey, here's the deal, though. Here's the deal. In God's presence is fullness of joy, but it has to be stirred up. It's just like your sugar that settles on the bottom of your tea if you don't boil it and you're from Indiana. You got to stir it up. You got to stir up joy on the inside of you. It's there all the time. It's there all the time. And if you're not careful, the enemy will rob it from you. And when he steals that, you don't realize it. He's stealing your strength. He really is robbing you of your strength. It is very hard to stay in joy and not be strong in the Lord. Most people that are strong in the Lord have some joy on the inside of them. And that joy is not based on happenings, which is happiness. No, it's based upon the fruit of the Spirit deep down in their heart called joy. Called joy. What is the tune of your heart on a day-to-day basis? Again, we're talking about your heart. Is your heart downtrodden and beaten down and negative? Or is your heart a heart of joy and a heart of thanksgiving? Is it a heart that says, man, God's good to me. Man, you're so good to me, God. I mean, just a heart of joy. This stuff's bubbling up over you. That's the way it's supposed to be. Say, that isn't the normal Christian life. No, that is the normal Christian life. Joy. Think about how fast could we evangelize the world if people had joy that were witnessing for Jesus? There are some folks, I hope they don't tell nobody they're saved. I hope they don't. I hope they don't. Sorry. Hi. I serve Jesus. I'm a greeter at the church. Yeah. Would you like to go? No? You're the fifth person that told me that this week. I don't know why. The world's just a hard place. Nobody loves God anymore. They're all going to burn. Sinners. Dirtbags. Would you like to go to church with me? No? I'm not shocked. That's the same thing they said. I mean, does that make you want to go to church? That wears me out. When I see people like that walking to me towards me as a pastor, I let them think I'm a sinner. Like, please don't witness to me. Please don't witness to me. Because your witnessing is wearing me out, and I'm saved. Come on, y'all know what I'm talking about? I think the devil loves to use the worst salesman he can to tell people about Jesus. And I'm telling you right now, I'm telling you right now, you can win more people to Jesus with a smiling, happy face than anything else. Yeah, you can. It's very hard to get people to church and very hard to get them to have a relationship with God when you're selling it like you just got beat down. You know what I mean? Listen, God's house should be a house of joy. Should be a house of joy. God's people should be people of joy. In his presence is fullness of joy. Do you have his presence in your life? Then you should be full of joy. Yeah. Look at this. And at your right hand, pleasures what? Forevermore. Look at this next verse. Here's what most people think of Jesus. You ready? Here's what most people see. Whenever they see Jesus, you ready? All right. Watch this now. You're gonna see it any second now. Now, isn't that just wonderful? In his presence is fullness of joy. Is that not the most ridiculous religious? I know some of you are like, oh, is he going to talk negative about that picture? Yes, I'm going to talk negative about that. Is that attractive? Does that look like a Jesus you want to serve? Oh, come be with me, oh weeping Jesus. I don't know where we got that. We got it off the web. That wears me out just looking at it. Black eyes. I mean, Some of you are like offended by that. I'm not offended by that. You want to know why? Because that's not how Jesus is. That is not how Jesus is. If that's the mentality you have of Jesus, no wonder you're winning so many people to Jesus. Because you will be like him. That's not what you want to be like, y'all. You're not going to win people to Jesus like that. You're not going to win. When I pray, I don't want to pray to something like that. I want to pray to a happy, faith-filled God who has a smile on his face, who's rooting for me. Come on, anybody know what I'm saying? Not that. That's a crazy picture. I don't know where we got that. Anyway, check this out. Moving on. Look at this. This is John 15:11. Look at this. These things I have spoken to you that my joy may remain where? In you. How many of you are saved tonight? All right. Then get this. Jesus said that his joy remains where? In you. Yes, it does. In you. And that your joy may be full. May be full. That Jesus wants your joy to be full. He wants it to be full and overflowing. You should be contagious. Hey, let me tell you something that the world has picked up on that the church has not. The world likes to have a good time and smile and be happy. Now, obviously, I'm not saying that everything the world does to be happy is good. Right? But happiness is an imitation of really of God's joy. God's joy is the real deal. And that's what we really want. That's what we really should seek after. And Jesus said, my joy may remain in you. In you. So where is joy at right now? In us. In us. Now if you're married to joy, she's sitting beside you. But you got the joy of the Lord in you. Praise God. I don't even know what I'm talking about. Joy is in you. So everybody say this. Say joy. Joy. On the inside of me. Rise up. You have it there. You have it there. You just got to activate it. You got to move in it. You got to want it to come forth. Joy on the inside of you. Say, why is this so powerful? It's so powerful because just joy alone can heal your heart. A jolly heart does good like a medicine. Some of you don't need a dose of aspirin. You need a dose of joy to heal you. Praise God. I'll preach on. I will. Praise God. That was good. Luke 17. Check this out. Luke 17:20. This is what Jesus said. Now when he was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered and he said to them, the kingdom of God does not come with observation, nor will you say, see it here or see it there. For the kingdom of God is where? Kingdom of God is where? Come on, say it one more time. The kingdom of God is where? Within you. Okay, so understand, the kingdom of God, God's rule on the inside of you. God's ruling, or at least that's his intent. The kingdom of God is not outside. The kingdom of God is inside of you. And God wants to rule on the inside of you. Y'all get what I'm saying? Okay, now what does that kingdom look like then? All right, so watch this. We're going to go to Romans 14:17. Look at this. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but it is what? Righteousness. Everybody stop right there and look at me. Check this out. What is righteousness? Righteousness is, get this, you on the inside knowing you're right with God. Right? How did you get this righteousness? Jesus gave you his righteousness, did he? How many of you believe Jesus is righteous in the eyes of God? All right, Jesus is righteous. You were unrighteous, right? Y'all weren't? Don't lie. Come on, we were all unrighteousness. Unrighteous, right? We were all unrighteous. Watch this. He gave up his righteousness at the cross and took on our unrighteousness, right? He took our unrighteousness to the cross, nailed it, and we got his righteousness. So each and every one of us, when we put our faith in Christ, depart from our works, depart from what we, disassociated from everything that we do or believe, when we believe on Jesus, we have righteousness, the word is called imputed, we have righteousness accounted to us, we are made righteous in the eyes of God. We stand in the same right standing as Jesus stood on the earth, praise God. You and I stand like Jesus does. Isn't that awesome? we're right with God. We're right with God. And that's the first principle of the kingdom. If you're going to be a part of God's rule, you have to, first of all, know that you're right with God. Number one. Number two, look at what it says. Peace. Peace. So it's the kingdom of God is righteousness on the inside of your heart. But guess what else it is? It is peace on the inside of you. It is peace. Having peace first and foremost with God. And second of all, with men. Can I give you a revelation from now? How many of you know there's only one name among men whereby we must be saved? That's the name of Jesus Christ. You guys believe that? That Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one goes unto the Father except by me. Is that right? How many of you know you're only going to have peace with God when you have peace with Jesus? Is that right? So when foreign religions and religions that don't serve Jesus, they don't have peace with men because they don't have peace with God. And to say a religion is a peaceful religion and they have no peace with God is a lie. You can only have peace with men when you have peace with God. Praise God, I'll preach on. Yeah, I will. Y'all see how I get that though? You see how I get there? And what am I talking about? Some of you, I'm not being just frank enough. I'm talking about Islam. Islam can never be a peaceful religion. Why? It makes no peace with God. Makes no peace with God. How do you make peace with God? There's one mediator between God and man, and that is the man, Christ Jesus. You get right with Jesus, you get right with God. And when you get right with God, guess what? You get the peace of God. That's how it works. All right? Now, you say, well, that's just awful small-minded. You must live in a box. I didn't say it. Jesus said it. If I'm living in a box, he's living in a box. Come on, am I right? All right, so we got righteousness, we have peace, but now listen to this. How many of you believe righteousness is important? How many of you believe peace is important? Look what he connects to it. And joy in the Holy Spirit. So we can't act like joy is just something that we just set along the side. Well, that's just not my personality. It is your personality. If you've got the Spirit of God on the inside of you, you've got joy. Yes. I don't like joy. It doesn't matter. It lives on the inside of you. Praise God. You've got to release joy. Why? Because joyful people are healthy people. Healthy people. Joyful people are people that embrace the promises of God. Joyful people are people that embrace faith. Say, I can believe God for things. Have you ever been believing for something and then suddenly in your heart you just get a peace about it and there's such a joy that you just know that it's going to happen, praise God. That came from the Holy Spirit. I love a commentary. Clark's commentary says this about this verse. That's pretty phenomenal in my opinion. It says, and joy, talking about this verse specifically. Wow, that is smaller than I thought it was going to be. We'll change that, Molly, next time. My bad. I told her the font was fine. Well, now that I see it, I seen it back there on the computer. It's not really that great. I'll read it to you for those of you over 25. Oh, come on. That's a joke. And the joy in the Holy Ghost. All right. Holy Ghost is simply another term for Holy Spirit. If you haven't heard the terms, Holy Ghost and Holy Spirit, there's no difference, all right? Here it is. Here it is. Here's the definition of what they're saying that verse means in this commentary. Spirit, it says, solid spiritual happiness, a joy which springs from a clear sense of God's mercy, the love of God being shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. In a word, it is happiness brought into the soul by the Holy Spirit. Oh, I love that. I love that. Because, see, here's what it's not saying. People that are not saved can't experience the same joy that we should have. That's what really annoys me. When you got sinners having more fun than saints. Something's wrong, y'all. We ain't doing it right. The truth of the matter is if we have the Holy Spirit in us, he's there to deliver to our soul, our mind, will, and emotions, happiness and joy above what you would normally carnally live on the planet. Y'all get what I'm saying? Look at this. And maintained there by the same influence. Ooh, I love that. And maintained there. In other words, the Holy Spirit delivers joy to you and maintains it in your heart. My goodness, that's good stuff, huh? How can you even read that and not smile? This makes me want to smile. All right, here we go. And He says, this is genuine counterpart of heaven. Righteousness is without sin. Check this out. Peace is without inner disturbance. And joy without any kind of mental agony or distressing fear. Come on, that's good stuff, huh? You should have that kind of a joy. No fear, no worry. Don't worry. Be happy. Y'all remember that song? It's a little song I wrote. Y'all know what I'm saying? Joy. 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 Delivered from the spirit to the soul. That's how a healthy spirit is. A healthy spirit. A healthy spirit. A spirit that's sad and sorrowful is not healthy. It's not healthy. Do you know, check this out. Science has now proven, this is amazing. When you cry, if you cry, if you're a dude. When you cry, check this out. The negative chemicals that are being released in your body, watch this. There are negative chemicals, let me say it this way. There are negative chemicals that are being released in your body when you cry. Negative chemicals. The tears from your tear ducts are creating a cocktail to counterbalance the negative chemicals that are being released in your body every time you cry. Proven fact. Every time you cry, the cocktail mix is different because the condition of your heart is different. Tell me that ain't some phenomenal stuff. Tell me God didn't make you to be happy and healed and joyful. Yeah. You weren't made to be sad and sorrowful. God even designed it, your body, with a physical manifestation of it trying to fix itself when you're sorrowful in your heart. When you cry, God has given you tears to help heal that release of that negative chemical in your body. That is phenomenal that God would do that. Now, if you're an atheist and you got from the goo to the zoo to you, I don't know how that worked. But if you're like me and you believe in God, you know where I'm coming from, all right? So check this out. Let's keep on reading. Look at this next verse here I want you to see. 1 Peter 1:8. It says, whom having seen we love, you love. Though you have not seen him yet believing, you rejoice with joy. What is it? Inexpressible and full of glory. That's what your joy is supposed to be. Inexpressible. You have this joy in your heart. One of the things I have to be careful of, and I'm being very honest whenever I tell you this, and I had to learn this in ministry. Whenever I first started doing funerals in places where I show up where people are brokenhearted, I used to have to really, well, first of all, when I first started doing them, I was a wreck in the sense of this. I didn't know how to act. I just didn't know what to say. I didn't know how to respond. I didn't know what to do. So I would go into a situation, I would say this. I would say like, hi, how's everybody doing? And I know they're dealing with something tragic and everything. And they look at me like, did you just get off the mothership or what, man? And do you not know we're dealing with somebody who died? I mean, come on, really? I'd show up at the hospital like that. Somebody just got, you know, terrible news. Hi, how's everybody doing? And what it was I was more tapped into the joy that was on the inside of me than people's circumstance. So I've had to learn over the years that I have to really talk myself down whenever I go into a place. I'm like, all right, I'm not going to go in there. I'm going to go in there like, hi, everyone. How is everyone? Then I look official and I act like a normal pastor. You know? But the truth of the matter is my normal countenance or my normal, the way I present it. Hi, how's it going? Hey, everybody, how's everybody doing? You know? And if somebody just died, they're like, would you shut up? We just lost a member of the family here. Come on, y'all hear what I'm saying? So, of course, I'm saying use wisdom with your joy. But the bottom line is this. Is that your normal condition of your heart? It should be. It should be. You should allow that joy to be a part of your life. That's normal. To me, that's normal. But now listen, I say of course use wisdom, but y'all get, I think you guys get where I'm coming from. All right, look at this. So 1 Peter 1:8, full of glory. Look at James 1:2, look at this. My brethren, count it all joy. Now how many of y'all have been through something in your life? Raise your hand. Was you looking at that thing going, oh, there's joy. Come on, how many of you do that? Nobody does that. Nobody says, look, here comes a trial, a joy. Nobody does that. But here's the deal. Here's the truth. You ready? The Bible doesn't say that the trial is joy. That isn't what your Bible says. The Bible says, count it joy. Why? Because get this, everybody. God wants you to live a journey of joy. He wants you to live a journey of joy. And if you'll live a journey of joy, when a trial comes at you and joy is on the inside of you, you've already positioned yourself in a place of faith, in a place of favor, in a place of strength to combat that thing. So that walking into that thing, you've already got the strength of the Lord working in your favor against that thing. Listen, this is one of the most powerful things you can learn in your spiritual walk with God. That by keeping joy stirred up on the inside of your heart, when you encounter a trial, that joy is there. You ain't got to work it up. It's there. It's working for you. And it will pull you up and sustain you. Watch what it says. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials, temptations, testings. That's what that means in the Greek. Knowing that the testing of your faith, Notice again, we're connecting joy and faith. They're interweaved. You can't separate them. They're both fruits of the Spirit. When you separate your joy from your faith will fall flat. Joy is what keeps you going. Look at this. It says this. Testing of your faith produces patience. Now understand this. The Bible has a very different definition of patience than what we oftentimes think. When we think of patience, we would almost say like, you know, just grab a hold and knuckle bear it and hold on. You know, and whatever comes through, comes through. Patience in the Bible is a little bit different. Patience means holding steadfast to the promises. Holding steadfast. When you have joy, it allows you to have faith. It holds on to your faith. And that faith and that joy will produce patience. You'll be able to hold on longer to that promise than you would if you had no joy. If you don't have joy, you're going to have faith, but you may run the course of your faith and feel like your faith has been withdrawn. And then once all your faith is gone, you ran out of patience. You give up. See what I'm saying? But if you'll have joy and then you'll run it with faith, then what it's going to do in you is allow you to be patient with the outcome that God's bringing for you. Y'all get what I'm saying? Say, look at this. He goes on. But then let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete and what? Lacking nothing. Perfect example of this in your Bible is found in Acts, all right? It's Acts chapter 16, and I'll take you there in just a minute, but let me kind of set the foundation of what's happening. Here in Acts chapter 16, what went on was you had the apostle Paul and Silas. They went into a city and they were preaching the gospel. They were preaching the gospel, and what happened was there was a lady there who was had a demon spirit, and she was doing fortune telling. And while she was doing fortune telling, the people of the city the leaders of the city were making a lot of money off of her. All right? Well, she kept following Paul. And Paul, the Bible says, first of all, if there's any dude that I think I'm more like than anybody, it's the Apostle Paul. I dig the dude. He's awesome. The Bible says he literally was walking, and there was this lady who kept saying, "These are the servants of the Most High God. These are the servants." And the Bible says he turned and annoyed, and he rebuked the demon out of her and cast it out. I love that. That shows the human side of Paul. I don't think he was walking along going, "Let's be spiritual and cast that demon out." I don't think he was that way. He's like, if that lady opens her mouth one more time, I'm going to cast that demon right up out of here. I promise. He probably said it just like that. He probably said, "Hey, Silas, wait, you watch. It's on. If she opens her mouth one more time, And she did. She opened her mouth, man. And he turned, he rebuked that thing and cast that thing out of her. She gave her heart to the Lord. And the bottom line was the people that were leading in the city that were basically using her gift to make money, they were upset because she brought them a lot of profit. So guess what they do? Guess who they get mad at? Paul and Silas. So they put them in. They put them in stocks. They let them down, and we'll pick up the story right there. And I'm just going to read a couple verses to you. Look at this, Acts 16:23. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison and commanded the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet to the stocks. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Faith and patience and joy. I mean, here they had just got beat. How would you respond? Would you be like, God is so good? God, would you be like, kill them? Every one of them, God. Wipe them off the planet, praise God. I mean, which would you cry out to God for? Paul and Silas, the Bible says that they simply begin to worship God. Do you think that came out of a heart of agony and pain? Or do you think that came from a heart of joy? Came from a heart of joy. And just to kind of fulfill you, I don't want to tell you the whole story. It's pretty cool. Go back and read it. But what happened to us, God sends an earthquake, takes him loose from the jail. The jailer is about to kill himself because he thinks Paul and Silas and all those guys had escaped. And they did. Check this out. Paul and Silas, they could have ran out of jail. They didn't. They go, no, hey, home slice, you ain't got to kill yourself. We're right here. He didn't say home slice probably, but... You know, he said, hey, man, we're right here. We're right here. We're right here. And the guy was about to kill himself. And guess what? He said, truly, you are the servants of the Most High God. He went back to their house. He took Paul and Silas back to their house, and they ended up giving their hearts to Christ. That whole family and being baptized, the whole family. Why? Because Paul and Silas just worshiping God. Joy stirred up on the inside of them. See, they didn't allow their trial and their tribulation to steal their joy. To steal their joy. You can't allow this life to rob you of your joy. If the enemy robs your joy, man, he's got your strength. He's got your strength. You got to say, you know what? No matter what comes my way, no matter what it is, I'm going to stay with a joyful attitude in my life. I'm going to have joy unspeakable and full of glory. Right? Go watch Dumb and Dumber if you have to. Stir up joy, praise God. Maybe you don't like Dumb and Dumber. But anyway, stir up joy. And how many of you know Dumb and Dumber will give you happiness, but it won't give you joy? Just to set the record straight. If some of you are looking for a Bible study out of Dumb and Dumber, that's not what I'm teaching up here. All right? Although I could use anything and teach the Bible, and I'm not kidding about that. But listen to this, Acts 16. Look at Hebrews 12:2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Watch this. Who for the joy set where? Before him, endured the cross, despised the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the what? Throne of God. Did y'all get that? So what am I saying? I want you to see this in three different stages. You're to have a journey of joy your whole life. You're to have joy because you're a child of God. You're to have joy because the Holy Spirit lives on the inside of you and He is delivering joy to your mind, will, and emotions each and every day. Full of joy. Full of joy. Righteousness, peace, and joy constantly there. As you walk through life, you're going to have trials and tribulations. You're going to have things that just don't go your way. But know that the joy of the Lord is your strength, even in the midst of the trial, so you can hold on to the promise of God, so you can endure with patience, so that patience and through that trial, you come out victorious on the other end. Right? See, and look at this verse. It says, now, for the joy that was set before him, he endured. See, the truth of the matter is joy has an enduring power within it. It allows you to endure. It allows you to stick through it. It allows you to get through it. It allows you to have times where you're going to break through. Y'all getting what I'm saying tonight? The joy does. Joy does. Joy does. It allows you. Look at it. For the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, and is now set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Joy will keep you going through it. Last verse, and you've heard it five times from me tonight. Nehemiah 8:10. It says, look at the latter part there. It says, for this day is the holy is holy unto the Lord, and do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. If the enemy can steal your joy, he steals your strength. And notice this, it's not your joy that you're trying to tap into. It's his joy that you're tapping into. Hey, and let me show you something. You ready? How many of you believe Jesus believes he defeated the enemy? How many of you believe he's joyful for that? How many of you believe that Jesus believes he is victorious in every way, shape, and form? You're tapping into that joy, not your joy. Your joy goes up and down. You've got to allow the joy of the Lord to be your strength through trials and tribulations and hard times. Joy, joy. Is it a powerful message? Absolutely. Is it simple? Absolutely. Do you want to live for God and have a joyful life? Absolutely. Joyful people are the healthiest people. The condition of your heart should be joy. It should be joy. The natural state of your heart should be righteousness, peace, and joy as a child of God. If you don't have righteousness, you don't have peace, and you don't have joy. And it's not because you don't want it, it's because you don't have Jesus. You have to have Jesus to have righteousness, peace, and joy. When you get Jesus, you get righteousness, peace, and joy. How many of you remember when you first got saved, how joyful you were? You know, that's the way it's supposed to be every day of your life. Joyful. When you get to heaven, there's no sad. There's no downtrodden. It's just joy. Inexpressible, as the Bible says, and full of glory. Joy. So let me ask you, what's the condition of your heart tonight? Is it joyful? It should be. If it's not, you need to say, God, fill me with your joy. Fill me with your joy. I want joy. Why? Because when joy comes, strength comes. When strength comes, you can hold on to the promises of God and bring the promises of God to pass in your life. Amen? Let's pray.